All right, let's get started, everybody. Welcome to today's webinar, Choosing the Best Web Content Management System. In the next hour, we'll be discussing the key components of a successful web CMS selection process. My name is Russ Emerson, Director of Partner Marketing for Sitecore, and I'll be moderating the first part of today's webinar. We are recording today's webinar, and we will send attendees a link to the recorded presentation and PowerPoint slides within a couple of days. To make this webinar highly interactive with our audience, we will devote the last 30 minutes to answering your questions. Please feel free to post these questions throughout the presentation in chat box on the webinar toolbar. We will also take some of your questions from Twitter hashtag FCMS. Answering your questions today are two well-regarded experts in web content management industry. Both of whom have assisted hundreds of organizations in finding the best web CMS for their website requirements. First, I'd like to introduce Randy Woods. Randy is the co-founder of Nonlinear Creations, which was founded in 1995, and together with his partner, Shannon Ryan, has led the growth of the company through the various cycles of the evolution of the Internet. In addition to his responsibilities as vice president of the company, Randy works directly with key clients, providing strategic insight into how they can best leverage internet technologies to drive business advantage. He regularly speaks at industry events, including the Gilbane Content Management Conferences, and is the author of several influential industry papers, including 8 Steps for Driving Success with Web Engagement and Best Practices in CMS Governance. Bo Brewer is the Director of Alliances at Siteworks, where he oversees the organizational relationship with various software partners. This wide-ranging area of responsibility gives Bo insight into trends, shifts, and points of differences across many complementary software categories, including WCM, enterprise search, online analytics, e-commerce, and social media. By working with established software companies, as well as tracking cutting-edge innovators, Bo enables Siteworks deliveries teams and clients with relevant and timely insights to make the best forward-looking technology decisions. Providing the overview of today's CMS process is Ron Pearson, Sitecore's Director of Analytics. As an independent consultant, Ron spent 12 years as one of Microsoft's first consultants, where he was the original Mr. Excel. He has written 26 books, including 4 international bestsellers on performance improvement and business computing. In the 12 years prior to Sitecore, Ron has used 6 Sigma and Balance scorecards to improve the performance of mid-sized companies. So with that, I'm going to pass this over to you, Ron, to start the presentation. Are you on mute there?
Sorry about that. That was a great intro I did, and everybody missed it. Today we've got a unique opportunity, and that is we're going to talk to 2 people that have been through this process of choosing a CMS many, many times. And they are not just Sitecore partners, but they are partners that work with many different types of CMS. So to begin with, I'll talk about an overview of this process for 15 or 20 minutes, and then we're going to go into the panel discussion. And please go ahead and type in any questions that you have over in the GoToMeeting chat box on the right-hand side. There should be a little tab that you can pull out. Type in any questions, and we have a few that have been forwarded already. So in this process of going and looking and choosing a CMS, it is much like something the classical hero's journey. A gentleman named Joseph Campbell went out and reviewed stories and myths from around the world, from ancient to modern times. And those stories are stories like King Arthur and Camelot, and Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, and even Harry Potter in the Wizardry series. All of those were common man, the every man. But they were given a huge heroic task, and they had to make incredible decisions and have a lot of bravery because what they did could save their world. They had to overcome many barriers. To do all that, they had to make a lot of choices on the way. They had to have resources and allies alongside of them, and there were many true paths and many tempting but false paths. Luckily, in those journeys, in almost every one of those heroic stories, there is a wizard or a Jedi Knight that comes along to give the hero advice along the way. And that's who we do have with us today. We have two Jedi Knights. So Randy and Bo are going to be able to answer any questions later on. So please go ahead and enter any questions that you have in the chat box on the side. Now, throughout this journey, the thing that is amazing is that in all of these journeys, there's either a huge treasure at the end, or they save the kingdom, they save the world from terrible things that happen. And that's pretty much, I hate to say it, but that's pretty much the case with choosing a CMS, because in the modern world, in marketing and in increasing the performance of your business, the CMS that you choose can be a make or break situation. It is an incredibly important business decision that you have to make. So it's one that the CMS is your company's face to the world, and it can help you integrate other parts of your business from the first contact with a customer all the way through loyalty programs at the end. To get into that, to begin that process of choosing a CMS, you really need to start with what is your heroic intent? What is the strategic role that the CMS is going to play? So you need to understand how that CMS can help with strategic objectives and strategic alignment. That's going to come out of knowing what your company strategy is. There's about 15 different corporate strategies that range from expanding the franchise like Starbucks, or high quality like BMW, or being on the leading edge like Apple. So you need to understand what that strategy of your company is. You need to come up with business objectives to accomplish that. Those business objectives then need to be driven by marketing objectives. And that's where you've got to understand what are your specific marketing objectives now and for 3 to 5 years in the future, and what are the customers that are going to be involved on the receiving end of that. Because it's those decisions and those objectives that define what type of system you're going to need. So you really can't get started unless you understand what you're trying to improve and what the objectives are. Now, those objectives at the business level for the stakeholders, they can be things in performance, like increasing your workflow and your editorial performance. They could be increasing your customer support and your loyalty and attracting new customers and gaining customer knowledge with personalization and building value for customers. Right now, there's over 13 different marketing channels. So you talk about having a difficult time juggling things. It's incredibly difficult in the online world to be a CMO, because those 13 channels, that's just in the online world. So it takes like 47 different metrics to measure all the cross-channel functionality and optimizing the performance. So how can you do all that? And then you have to decide, do I want a high-fidelity marketing system where I can position graphics down to the pixel level, or am I just trying to deliver content and information as quickly as I can? Do I want high fidelity as in the best audios and videos that I can? Do I want to go mobile? What type of expansion do we need for the future and to best serve our customers? And then finally, do we at some point want this system to integrate the entire value chain from the time we first attract a customer through a social media or a website visit, all the way through to purchase, transfer to the sales organization, and then loyalty programs that go out through the website and online also. So you've got to understand that big picture, not just for now, but for 3 to 5 years or more in the future. And all that way, you're going to find pathways. You take the path, you take the wrong path, you end up facing Medusa or a dragon, you lose your head. You take the right path and you get to the treasure, you save the kingdom. So one of the first choices that you may need to make after you've identified your business decisions, business objectives, is you need to decide there are three big choices here. Do we have an enterprise content management system where we're just concerned with delivering documents? And this is a situation where a lot of times IT departments want to use something like Microsoft SharePoint, which is great for an intranet, but may not have the fidelity and the customer orientation you need to work well in as a web environment. Another solution is a web content management system. This is where the majority of software sits right now, CMSs. This is a high fidelity system. We can make dynamic content. It's got workflow management and extensible modules so that, you know, we can add in for any type of multimedia. We can connect with e-commerce. We've got extensions so that we can link up to CRM systems, ERP systems, so we can go from cradle to grave with our customers. And then lastly, there are those that are on the leading edge, and those are engagement management systems. These are not only extensible and high fidelity, but you're also getting into personalizing content. You can analyze visitors' behavior and personality, and you can do cross-channel marketing. So in that middle segment there, the web CMS, you're looking at like 47 different types of metrics that you need to measure across different channels. In engagement management, you're looking at just a few value metrics that measure the value of customers, so it's much easier to use. So there's a wide range of choices. These are the first pass that you need to choose. Now, luckily, just as with those heroic journeys, and there are Jedi Knights around and wizards who have been through these processes before. And in a lot of cases, these Jedi Knights, as you'll notice from these pictures, they all have gray hair. Well, in reality, they're only 25 years old, and that gray hair comes from all the decisions and all the processes that they've been through. So you want to leverage off of these Jedi Knights and these wizards. To begin with, you can form a partnership with a marketing agency who does the marketing side, plus they have relationships with IT, or you can go out and deal directly with an IT-type partner. Another choice is, do we go with open-source software, where the software is inexpensive or no cost, but it's going to cost us for a lot of customization and a lot of consulting, or do you go with a commercial product that is more robust and proven, and then there's consulting to go along with that just to customize it for what you need? Another choice is, do we go with best of breed? So in other words, when you've made those business decisions about what is important and you decide, well, email is really important because that's where we expect to make our greatest number of contacts, or web is most important, or social media, or whatever it is that's most important. So if you're going after best of breed, you look for the best software for that type, but then you've got to integrate across multiple different packages versus taking one that's integrated, so across all the different types of solutions that there are, the social media, the marketing automation, the email campaigns, the content management system, and the analytics. Take all of those integrated into one package. It may not be in any one piece the best of breed, but you don't have to worry about getting it taking the year to 2 years to get it all integrated. Or alternatively, you can have a hybrid solution where you take an integrated solution and then tack on maybe one best of breed. So we need to get advice in all cases from those wizards and the Jedi Knights. Some of the other choices are, how scalable is this system going to be? What's our plan? What's our business plan for the future? Are we going to go to multi-sites, multiple languages? Will we at some point need to consider, do we have to go to the cloud? Are we going to have massive data streams? And some systems are easier to extend and expand than others. Most now, whether it's open source or commercial, are going to have modules and libraries so that they are extensible. And then you have to decide, too, if we go with a hybrid solution or a best-of-breed solution, you may end up facing programming where you have to support both Java and .NET in-house. And so it depends on your culture and your programming environment that you have in-house. Now, that's great to have that Jedi Knight on your side, but one of the things before you even leave the castle is you've got to, or your hobbit, is you've got to have business allies in your resources. Probably the most important thing is to have the executives on your side. You've got to have the C-level executives on your side. I've done business performance improvement for 30 years, and I can guarantee that if the senior executive, if the CEO or someone that the CEO trusts a great deal isn't on your side, this project's going to fail. It's almost 100% guaranteed to fail. So you've got to get the executives on your side. You've got to figure out exactly this business complexity that's up here. That is concerned with how complex is our business and what do we want to look like to our customers. We may have a good understanding of our products and services and our divisions and our regions and how they span the globe, but we need to put it up there on the web so that visitors can understand it and find things the way that they think, not the way that we think inside the company, but the way that our visitors are looking for things and the way that they want to find them. So in some cases, you may need to hire an information architect to help you lay out the structure of your website. And you need to get all the stakeholders together. This is after the executive level. This is probably the most important thing, is to get all stakeholders in agreement. All functions, not just IT, not just marketing, but get everyone together in agreement to agree to what are the key objectives and what are we trying to solve and what... If you can't do that, I usually recommend taking a team of 8, not more than 10, cross-functional people at a high level, and they each need to have about 10 years experience in that industry and the ability to make decisions. And from that team, then you can come up with a cross-functional solution. If you can't get the stakeholders buy-in, then you're in trouble, just as you would be without CE-level executive support. The final thing, now that you're on the road, you've got your Jedi Knights or your wizards on your side who pop up in time to answer critical questions. You've got your allies and your resources beside you. You've got to do a test before going into battle. And they actually used to call it a test, where the Knights would they would practice on their jousting field or on their test field. And you've got to do the same thing. I can't urge strongly enough to go out and actually test the software with you doing the hands-on. Go to do some hands-on trials. Send some of your people to training. Do not just accept a presentation. And go out and create a proof of concept. Do a proof of concept yourself doing something simple. Have a proof of concept for one of your gnarlier, more difficult tasks that you face. Do that proof of concept and see if it works. So you've got to have real proof that this thing is going to work. The Jedi Knights that we have with us are Randy Woods from Nonlinear Creations and Bo Brewer from SiteWorks, and they're here to help you answer your questions. So if you'd like, please type any questions in the side panel there. And we will email this recording and the PowerPoint slides and any answers to any really technical questions we'll get to you. And we'll email all of that within 48 hours. There's additional educational resources out at sitecore.net/resources. So we've got white papers, ebooks, videos on a lot of different topics ranging from technical to marketing content. So at this point, I'd like to open up to the panel. Randy and Bo, are you there?
Yeah, I'm Randy. I'm here.
Okay. Well, I'd like to just alternate questions a bit, and we have a few questions that were sent in earlier. And Randy, what if I start with you, and we'll just kind of alternate here. This person writes, is a long formal process necessary for a CMS selection? I've seen some selection processes take a year and others take a few weeks. Why the difference?
Yeah, it's a really good question. In my mind, it has as much to do with the corporate culture of the organization procuring the content management system as it does anything else. The CMS marketplace is mature, right? In 1997, it wasn't, but that's a long time ago. So most of the commercially available products are going to be from reputable companies that can do much of what you need to accomplish. And so when I look at the CMS process, rather than doing a bunch of paper-based evaluation, we try to encourage our clients to try and get to a short list quickly by asking the simple questions. If you're a .NET shop, exclude Java-based providers, for example. Get a handful of providers, get them in, and then do a proof of concept, as you mentioned earlier, Ron, so you've got some sense of how these things are going to work for you in the real world. That's probably the quickest way to glory. But I have one caveat on that, and that's that the CMS procurement process isn't always just about selecting a CMS product. Sometimes it's about building consensus momentum in the stakeholder environment. And when you mentioned, Ron, earlier, getting the stakeholders aligned, sometimes the CMS procurement process, how you select the CMS, it's important to make sure everyone knows it's happening and feels like they're engaged. And so in that case, a longer process may make sense. Not that it's going to give you a different answer, but it's going to make the long-term likelihood of executing a CMS deployment more likely.
I think that's real valid. I've noticed in performance improvement processes, a lot of times, people just need to know that they have contributed their ideas. Even if their idea isn't adopted, at least they were part of the process. And that's enough to sometimes get stakeholder buy-in. Do you have more you can contribute to that?
No, I actually think Randy hit it pretty on the head. I would say that we've actually taken a new tactic a little bit. Randy's 100% accurate that if you need organizational buy-in, the CMS selection plays a role. If you can avoid that, if you've got a less political decision-making process, if you are the senior stakeholder who's trying to make the right decision for your company and you can coerce everyone else to fall in line, then oftentimes you can really short-circuit this. And instead of spending a few weeks of consulting time, which is not cheap, with people who really know the system, ask a few people to sit down with you for an hour or two, see if those short lists that they recommended to you after an hour line up, and you can really get one of these Jedi Knights that you mentioned can really get you on the right page very quickly, and then you can spend that money in doing one of those proof of concepts on a single platform, or maybe a bake-off between two platforms, and that can get you a little bit farther in the process, make it a little bit more real, not so much strategic spinning wheels. So that's something that we are recommending, but we'll absolutely do the CMS selection if it's necessary for company culture.
Bo, is it, let me ask you for starters, is it better to, in this process, to develop your information architecture and maybe some wireframes and functional plans before starting the whole, before looking for CMS technology? Do you want to have a good idea of what you want in place, or is it kind of a heuristic, iterative process where you do a little bit of each as you're working forward?
Well, I think I actually am going to maybe go a little bit counter to consensus here, because the consensus is never let your design influence your technology, right? Design first, information architecture, wireframes, all the rest, and then pick a technology and make the technology conform to your design and your business objectives. And at a high level, that's correct. But the issue with that kind of decision making is the cost, right? You can build anything on any platform you want, but sometimes your choices are million-dollar decisions. And I think that one of the things that we stress within my company, because we straddle the line between that creative agency and the technology agency that you mentioned earlier, is that our designers design with the platform in mind and therefore can make better decisions and work with you on what you're trying to accomplish. But if you have one of those million-dollar decisions to make, you've got to, we're going to put that in front of you up front so that you know that when you make that decision, that it's much more difficult to implement with the platform that you have in mind, and that you may want to try something that's almost as good, that's a little bit technically easier to implement.
Randy, how do you feel?
Ron, I stepped on you. I agree entirely. I couldn't agree more, frankly. I do think that there is, you're right, theoretically, you can make anything work on any platform. The question is the upfront cost of coding it, but it's also the long-term cost of maintaining it through upgrades and extending it. And the truth is, if you have, and I know most SiteWorks and LC have this, designers who are able to be creative while understanding not only the limitations, but how a CMS product likes to be structured, they're able to design within that constraint, and you end up with a very, very compelling design, but you do it in such a way that you're not blowing yourself out of the water a year later when you have to upgrade the software. So, but we're exactly on the same page on this one. I think you will find that you've experienced an awful lot less pain when you're deploying a CMS if you've actually thought through what you want to accomplish and then leave some of the actual creative and the drill down detail works until, you know, after you've went through the CMS selection process.
Okay, so you got to know your tools here, as well as the big concept. You know, in using this maybe a corny metaphor, but this metaphor of going on a heroic journey, all of us like a little bit of adventure, I think. But at the same time, we don't want to walk around a corner and be faced with some huge gorgon or dragon or something like that. So. This gentleman's asked, where have you seen companies that have the greatest difficulty and the greatest dangers in selecting and implementing? So are there a few things that you see, Randy, maybe we could start with you. Are there a few things that you see over and over where people, are in trouble?
Yeah, the one that comes to mind, and we probably have a whole discussion on nothing except this, but what we've seen repeatedly be a problem is if either the business user, say marketing, or the IT team plunge forward and make a selection without doing the upfront consulting or without partnering with the other group, you're headed for disaster. We've seen lots of scenarios where the IT department has showed up and said, hey, congratulations, we have a new CMS product that we've selected, and the marketing team says, well, we were wanting to do this online personalization and ongoing lead nurturing to do that, and the IT team is, no, but we can build that, which makes it expensive and hard to upgrade. And the flip side is also true. We've been in scenarios where the marketing people have purchased a product which is fundamentally incompatible with the underlying CRM system, for example, that the IT group has. And so what my encouragement is, don't operate in isolation. You guys, sometimes it's not the most comfortable conversation in the world, but the business owners of the CMS, whether that's the e-commerce VP or the marketing team, and whoever's running the IT group have to sit down as part of this process, or you're setting yourselves up for just an awful world of pain.
So you've created your own barriers. Bo, are there barriers over and over again?
I don't know if there are barriers. I've seen people... and by the way, your question cut out a little bit on my side, so
you
just asked me to add on to, you know, my point of view. I think there's three things I see as kind of things you should absolutely avoid, and aren't too hard to avoid if you know what you're doing, if you go in with the goal in mind. One is the design stuff we mentioned up front, where, you know, if you let your design agency run crazy without the technology and platform. But we talked about that a fair amount. Two, I see this from time to time, and I realize it's a little bit of a self-interested answer, but I see projects stall because everybody went through so much, so many cycles and iterations and getting budget allocated only for the software and assumed that this is sort of like, well, we'll do an installation and then it'll be up and running. This is enterprise software. You have to keep the implementation costs and timelines and resources in mind when you're making the selection. And then three, and this is a bigger than probably the other two put together, but people often ask me, how long is this going to take to do? And I say, well, you know, our range between our absolute fastest and our absolute slowest is quite wide, about a month to 12 or 18 months. Some of that has to do with the scale and the scope of what we're implementing, but a lot of it has to do with the client themselves. And a political decision-making process where you do not have the executive stakeholders intimately involved, where the CMS team themselves cannot make the decisions and they have to wait and they have to send deliverables around to 40 different people who make small tweaks, that kind of project can get off the rails real fast. And there should be something organizationally to avoid.
Thanks. We've got, a question came in. Someone said, why do you suggest a cross-functional team member have at least 10 years experience in the industry? I should have probably said 10 years experience in that business function, like marketing or online or or whatever it is, or IT. And that's because it's been there's been a lot of research done, and people take about 10 years before they really have seen, they really have enough experience, they've seen enough that they have a good idea what's going to happen, and enough. So you're trying to get people on that cross-functional team that really, really have battle scars. They've been through it, and they know how to work through all these situations. So another question that's come in, how much, Randy, maybe we could, I've forgotten who was leading here, but Randy, maybe we could start with you again. How much impact does going mobile have on your content management system? Can you give examples where the impact is minimal and maybe where the impact was significant going mobile?
Sure. I think that has to map back to your corporate strategy. There are some organizations for whom mobile is absolutely critical. In fact, it's far more important than the traditional website. And there's other organizations for whom, you know, effectively it's a nice to have, or it's used primarily to help people find the office when they're driving around. And I think understanding that drives the decisions you make. So if what you're really looking at doing is repurposing a bit of content for the most common mobile scenarios, finding the office, locating a name, finding the phone number, then you can use virtually any CMS to allow you to build a custom template to allow you to deliver that to mobile devices, and it's fairly straightforward. If on the flip side, you honestly believe that a really significant portion of your business is going to happen through mobile applications, and I'm not really thinking about tablets here, I'm thinking about smaller form factors, then you really have to think about this during the CMS deployment process, because what you may want to do is build an app for each of the various mobile functions, or something in HTML5, which I think is what's happening next. But you're going to want to power that, no matter whether it's a custom app or whether it's an HTML5 that piece can be downloaded to the various platforms. You're going to want to power that from the CMS, as in you want to be able to make sure the content streams from your website into the app that's on the phone or mobile device. And thinking about that before you procure the CMS is really important. So I guess what I'm suggesting is make sure you understand what the drivers are for you as an organization, how important is mobile going to be to your business model, and then make your selections appropriately. Does that make sense, Ron?
I think that does. As a matter of fact, if I put my marketing hat on here, you've got to know what your marketing mix is. That goes back to that knowing your company's business strategy, their business objectives, coming down from that, what marketing objectives drive those business strategy objectives. Once you know your marketing objectives, then you can know what your marketing mix is. What's social, what's website, what's real world, what's mobile. So, and once you know those proportions, then you can start to figure out which technology you're going to use. Bo, I wonder if you could go into a different area for us here. Someone's asked, does a web content management system replace the need for a marketing automation system? So maybe that's more of a definition of terms here.
Well, I don't know if it's a definition of terms. By the way, I won't answer your question since you wanted me to focus on something else, but I do think the mobile question, I would say the only thing
yeah,
that, Randy, is that it's almost always more important than you think it is. There's plenty of stats about how important mobile is going forward, but also case studies where we've had where customers had, you know, 4-5% of their traffic on mobile. When they optimized for mobile, they went to 12-15%. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind, even if you don't have the statistics back up. As far as the marketing automation question, I think this kind of comes back to the point you were making earlier, Ron, which was best of breed versus a hybrid. I think there are a lot of CMSs that are starting, web content management systems, that are starting to have some basic marketing automation functions built in. But most enterprise class customers I see are still using like a Marketo or Eloqua and bolting on. The better you can have those two channels communicating to make sure that you're using the same content, the same digital assets and that sort of thing out of a single system, probably your CMS or your digital asset management system, that's a good scenario, right? Because then you're basically coordinating your brand message across both those systems. If you have sophisticated email needs, then you're probably going to still be leaning at a best of breed at a high level at a smaller company. You might be able to get by with some of the web content management extensions that are built into the system. But you can do either with either platform.
Thank you. And Randy, should you do a complete redesign of your website when you implement a CMS? And a question from earlier that probably goes along with this is, how in the world do we port all of our previous content?
Yeah, two very different questions, both difficult. The real question should be, do we need to redesign our website? Forget the CMS question. Is the website delivering against your business objectives? If it's doing a great job, maybe you want to redesign. Maybe what you want to do is some multivariate testing, A-B testing, rethink your content strategy so that you're tweaking what already works. If you come to the conclusion that your website doesn't work, you've got the analytics, it's not competitive, you're a generation behind, your executive team has decided that somebody's going to get fired because it's terrible, you need to redesign, then make that decision. But that, I think, should be done almost independent of whether or not you're rolling into a CMS. If you decide to keep the exact same design, the exact same content, and really the same user definitions, you may be able to do content migration in a thoroughly automated way. If you decide to redesign and move all your content and change how it's structured, you're going to have a whole whack of manual intervention to move the content, and that's really unavoidable because there's no system that can tell you, you know, what used to be on page A is now split into three pieces on pages B, C, and L. So you're going to have humans involved. So there's certainly no doubt that if you're rethinking your entire online presence when you deploy the CMS, your migration is going to require manual intervention. If you're moving your website exactly as it is, and I mean exactly, right down to the same users, then you may be able to automate the whole thing, which is a less painful process. Was that helpful, Ron? Is that kind of what the
question
was?
Thank you. Yeah, I think so. And Bo, do you have some comments on that?
Again, I hope this isn't too self-serving. I think never let the opportunity of a good crisis pass you by. So I actually do think that most of the time, if you're going to be doing a major project already and really evaluating your underlying platform for your website, then take a crack at doing it right. Now, one thing I will say is that is a huge cost driver, right? So when you come to a company like Nonlinear or SiteWorks, that's going to be one of the first questions they ask because it changes the calculation, how much this whole thing is going to cost you. That said, you know, you think about it, it's going to cost you a fair amount to do it regardless, and it's a major investment. So don't miss that opportunity to do it. As far as the content migration, I would say that, you know, our point of view is, we actually lean on a partner. I think we've partnered with SiteCore pretty closely, a partner called Kapow. So on those content migration automation situations, like Randy said, where you are doing a straight port, that's a great tool. And it even has some flexibilities for the IT folks on the phone. Kind of has a extract, transform, load sort of format where you can run migrations multiple times. And that's a pretty good tool, and it's got a good interface with SiteCore as well.
Bo, there's a question. If we go back to that slide I had in the beginning, there was three different pathways, an enterprise content management, a web content management, and an engagement system. The question someone sent in is, can a single CMS provide a robust solution for all three of these?
That's a good question. Obviously, that's what everyone would like. I would say that I see people do it. I see people use ECM outside the firewall. I see people do a web content management inside the firewall. I think generally the latter format works a little bit better. And then as far as engagement management, I would say that you're probably going to see a lot of web content management systems, the better ones, you know, and it's a long list of web content managements, the short list of better ones that have some functionality that get into that third category, the engagement management, and many of them that can be kind of used inside the firewall in a robust way, though they're just not going to be optimized for large documents and that sort of stuff if you really have huge amounts of data like an ECM would be. But you can make it happen. It kind of depends on your requirements. That's the short answer.
Okay. And Randy, what's your feeling about those three inside and out?
Yeah, I think I concur with Bo on most points. Fundamentally, I think you've got a very different use case for something like enterprise content management or even your intranet than you have when you're trying to influence people who don't know who you are to do something. So if I'm trying to help you save and store documents as records so that if we're audited or if somebody sues us, we can produce them. That's very different than me wanting to find a way to improve the conversion rates for third-time visitors or people who have purchased before. And so I think those are like fundamentally different concepts. And while you may choose the same technology to execute both, and there are some that will stretch that barrier, you have to do an awful lot of work then to take that platform and build out those two scenarios rather than looking at two products. So I think there's probably a tendency there to sit on either one side of the line or the other. In terms of web engagement or engagement management, you know, I do think that market is going to coalesce around the content eventually, and so you will see WCM vendors playing a much stronger role. That's going to evolve over time, and certainly the pure-play vendors are not going away immediately, but over time there's going to have to be some deep partnerships for the real potential of engagement management to work out.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to bring up a question that we had. We did this webinar about 3-4 months ago, and there was a question that came up twice, and that is, both of you, please, maybe Randy to start with, the question went something like, I'm faced with an adamant IT department that says they know SharePoint inside and out, and why do we need to use a content management system when we can make a customer-facing web content management system using SharePoint. What do you have to say about that? Their real question was, how do we convince the IT department that that's going to be a lot of extra work and it's not going to give us what we need?
So it's a common scenario, and certainly SharePoint has become dominant really inside the firewall for a lot of organizations today, and so it makes sense for IT to look at it and say, look, we've got this platform, we understand it, why don't we use it? And certainly, well, SharePoint can be made to do almost anything you want it to do, but there's a time, energy, and effort involved. It may be suitable for some websites where they're key to your business, so I don't think it provides the kind of functionality you're likely to need. Our suggestion, honestly, is if SharePoint's in the running and you already own it, is do a prototype or roll out a small microsite. Try and use it for a public-facing site. And I think both the IT team and, say, the marketing team will fairly quickly recognize the amount of work and effort that has to go into it to make the kind of changes that you would expect to be able to make, particularly if you come from a static HTML background where moving something a few pixels is fairly straightforward. There's a good chance it will not be straightforward when you move into the SharePoint setting. So my suggestion is try it in something low risk and see what happens.
And Bo, have you faced those situations?
I have. Randy is absolutely right. It's very common. And I wish I'd like Randy's answers very much because I think I might use it in the future because it is sort of almost a religious conversion that needs to happen to get people to understand that there are some limitations to SharePoint outside the firewall on the marketing site. So, and I've absolutely seen some places where you kind of did a feature function comparison and I lined them up one by the other. And then, you know, the SharePoint zealots kind of said, no, SharePoint can do that. SharePoint can do the mobile piece too. Just you're shaking your head because you know it's so difficult. But if you're not actually getting in that bake-off scenario that Randy was talking about, somebody's really entrenched. It's hard to get them off that point of view.
Yeah. Well, there's a question here that's kind of near and dear to my heart in analytics, and could you give some guidance on when or how to use visitor tracking? That's because they face a situation where they may have to use multiple analytics systems, for example, WebTrends or Omniture, and then Sitecore has its own different type of analytics using engagement and personalization analytics. Do you need both? Do they need to be redundant? What do you recommend, Bo?
I feel like this is almost a question for you, Ron. I've seen you give an OMS demo, and it's really impressive stuff. But I think a couple of things. One, my viewpoint on analytics in general is that typically, you know, use what you've got until you outgrow it, and that can be one of the free systems that's very, very inexpensive to start there. When you outgrow it, when you start to see where it's creaking, when you bring in, look at what you can do with a more robust system, one of the larger systems. Then consider whether, you know, there's a return on investment, and for large organizations there usually is. But you have to marry that with your team. I see a lot of people who buy this stuff and then it becomes shelfware because they didn't ever actually invest in the analysts in the decision-making processes and internal governance, where they can take advantage of those insights that the tool provides them. As far as the difference between any of those platforms, there are certainly differences in the longer conversation than this. As far as the advantages that the Sitecore platform offers, I think the key one, and Ron, correct me if I'm wrong, but the key one that you guys, that I think is really compelling from a business perspective, is the ability to really manage your marketing spend and your different campaigns and make sure that you're getting you're balancing kind of your investments with your return.
Yeah. And Randy, what have you seen? Do many of your clients have multiple analytics systems, or do you think there's a need for that? And what about the traditional analytics versus the engagement and personalization analytics?
Sure. First of all, I agree with both. The big limiting factor tends not to be the tool you're using for the analysis. It's having somebody to do the analysis. And that seems to be a genetically rare species. So I point that out as a fairly significant limitation. In practice, we've seen virtually all of our customers use multiple analytics systems. There's a reason for that. Google Analytics is free, and so a lot of people see no downside to using it. Sometimes they use it because the interface is easy to hand off to many other internal people with very low learning curve. And then they may use something heavy lifting like Omniture for the analysts who actually live and die by it and make all the decisions. And so it's not uncommon to see both of those two, like best of breed or pure play vendors in the analytics space installed at the same time. When you're looking at something like Sitecore or other CMS product that has an analytics capability, the piece of the picture they can get a hold of that you can't get from something like Google Analytics is the content aware component, so that I'm able to actually profile people based on the content they're viewing. You can actually usually customize something like Google Analytics or Omniture to do that, but it's much more difficult to set it up to do automatically or to give that power to the authors of the content. And so there's a piece of the puzzle that traditional analytics don't get, and if that piece of the puzzle is important to you because you're doing personalization, because you're profiling your visitors, then you really need something like Sitecore in order to capture that information and make it usable. Maybe in an ideal world, all this gets tied together and you have one dashboard, but Ron, that's closer to your world than mine.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try to keep this real even-handed here between, so we've got it quite open to, these are, I don't want to get specifically into Sitecore and push Sitecore here, but there is really two different ways of looking at these, and they are complementary. It depends on your business strategy. So, with respect to engagement analytics versus just the traditional watching the number of visitors and how long they sit on a page. So, but there's all those white papers and a lot of videos and everything are up at the Sitecore website. The link is up there so people can take a look. We have a lot of different size people using content management systems, and there's a lot of publicity out now about cloud this and cloud that. So what are the advantages and disadvantages of a cloud-based CMS? And does it make a difference depending upon the size of your IT department or depending upon the size of your enterprise? But, Randy, would you like to lead on that one?
Sure. Tough conversation to do in the abstract because so much depends on the specific circumstances that you're addressing. The advantages of cloud, at least theoretically, and I guess where we've seen it most commonly become the default choice, whether it's for CMS or other applications, is when there's a dysfunctional relationship between a business unit and the IT team, and the business unit feels like they can't get anything done, and so it's a lot easier for them to swipe a credit card and buy it in the cloud. So that's been a driver of an awful lot of uptake. That's really not sort of a decision that's made strategically. It's one that's made pragmatically based on the organization or culture. The downsides are pretty simple from the cloud. It's harder to do things like provision all of your users based on your existing Active Directory because you have to deal with security provisions and that kind of stuff, or integrate with your existing CRM or your back-end e-commerce system, where that's a lot easier if it's actually on-premises. I guess the proponents of the cloud base will say that it's faster, you don't have to buy the infrastructure, and there may be some cost advantages, although, again, that comes down to the specific context. So that's my way of saying it's very hard to discuss in the abstract.
Yeah. Bo, have you faced many clients that have discussed, have they had a real need for going to the cloud?
Well, I think there's, if this were a dialogue with the person who asked that question, I want to be clear. Are they talking about like a SaaS-based system that when they say cloud-based, or do they mean a Sitecore or another solution that can be installed on premises that's installed in a cloud or mm-hmm. a private cloud? Because that's two different business cases. In the SaaS model, right, then you're trading flexibility for less IT infrastructure and investment in your sysadmins and overhead there. If you're talking about true cloud deployments, then the negative is that you have to worry about security and also some of the more complicated infrastructure for your on-premise, going through firewalls to your internal systems. And the big positive and the driver for people moving in the cloud, in addition to the one that Randy mentioned, which is absolutely true, that he hit it on the head, that the pragmatic decision, I hate my IT department, I go into the cloud, is why that happens. But the other decision I've seen is media companies or other companies with large seasonality that need the last capacity of the cloud so that they can spin up another instance very quickly and spin it down when they have that no longer need the demand.
Yeah. We're coming to the end of our time. Bo, I wonder, and Randy, would you, Bo, maybe you could lead off here. Do you have any last couple of tips, strategy, a big picture here that you can give our listeners? Bo, would you like to start?
Well, I guess the final thoughts, this is going to be, this is a big decision, but it's also, one that you can make with the right, consideration. So it seems overwhelming, but you get good help with a few trusted advisors and you'll be in good shape. And I guess as far as the tips and tricks overarching, let's take it down to a kind of a practical level, move quickly and iterate over time. I mean, this is the web after all, and a large waterfall 5-year implementation is going to be out of date by the time you're halfway through. So, move quickly. Don't be afraid to make a couple of mistakes along the way. As long as you choose a good product and set some good architecture up front, you can fix a lot of the other mistakes as you go.
Matter of fact, I just had an email come across my screen just a moment right before starting this presentation, and it commented that when Disney World opened, they had just finished paving the roads. It was almost a 100-degree day, and the women who wore high heels, a lot of them mostly back then, the high heels of all the women sank into the asphalt, and none of the water fountains worked on that 100-degree day. But Walt Disney keep plugging, and now they get 600 million visitors a year. So we've got to keep iterating and keep moving forward. Randy, do you have any parting comments here?
Yeah, I think, Bo, dead on with everything you've said. I guess I would emphasize two things to think about when you're going into a CMS selection process that maybe you didn't touch on, Bo, and that's the first one is make sure you know why you have a website. Like, think hard about what it is that you're trying to accomplish with that website and how you're going to measure it. And you probably have a hierarchy of goals, but know that before you start. So that after you're done deploying the CMS, you actually have some way of proving whether or not you've moved forward or backward. And one that's often not thought about when you're looking at that is things like publication time or the cycle for publication. How long does it take you to get content from idea to on the website? So have a number that you can actually present, and I think you'll find that's a much more useful thing than simply throwing a website up there. And the second thing I mentioned earlier, which is make sure you've got alignment between the business users and your IT team before you start, that's, again, more likely to produce a positive outcome for you. I hope this has been helpful.
Thank you. I think this whole thing has been pretty helpful. Randy Woods from Nonlinear Creation and Bo Brewer from Siteworks, thank you both, and thank you all attendees for being here. We will get the content of this presentation out to you within 48 hours. Thank you very much. Good afternoon.